Isaiah 57, 14, 15. Build up, prepare the way. Remove every obstacle out of the way. Build up, prepare the way. Remove every obstacle out of the way of my people, of my people. Prepare the way of my people. I dwell on a high and holy place, also with the contrite lowly of spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly, revive the heart of the contrite. Build up, prepare the way, remove every obstacle out of the way. Build up, prepare the way, remove every obstacle out of the way. Also with the contrite lowly of spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly, revive the heart of the contrite. Build up, prepare the way, remove every obstacle out of the way. Build up, prepare the way, remove every obstacle out of the way. Build up, prepare the way, remove every obstacle out of the way. Build up, prepare the way, remove every obstacle out of the way of my people, my people. Prepare the way of my people.
Reverend Gloria Hicks McLaughlin of God's Word, Life Source Ministries podcast, broadcasting from godsword.eprn.us. Welcome again to my show. I have been blessed to broadcast my 91st show today on godsword.eprn.us. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. The message today is entitled, The Road Has Been Prepared. The Road Has Been Prepared. Now, this message is based on Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 14 and reads as follows from the NIV translation. And it will be said, build up, prepare the road, remove the obstacles out of the way of my people. What are obstacles? Obstacles are things that block the way or prevent or hinders progress. The word obstacle has its origin in the Greek language, proskama, a stumbling block or a scandal in the Bible, is a metaphor for behavior or attitude that leads another to sin or to have destructive behavior, which ultimately results in the damage of one's reputation. I want to mention four stumbling blocks to our spiritual development. Now, the first in the category of stumbling blocks to our spiritual development, believe it or not, is pride. Pride as in thinking of ourselves higher and above someone else, or high and above what we should be, or overly inflating our worth and value on ourselves. Pride can be in a form of jealousy of another, particularly if that person exceeds in some trait or discipline that you may not exceed or excel in. And you might find that person or those with those actions of excellence in your thinking, you might find that to be annoying, and perhaps you become fault-finding of the individual who excels. Now, St. Matthew addresses this in his gospel, chapter 7, verses 3 through 5, and he writes about what Jesus teaches about judging others, beginning with verse 3. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eyes and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Check yourself first. Are you equally as annoying? Do you deserve the same criticism? Forgive the other person. See that person as Christ sees them. And of course, this will come with practice. A second stumbling block is ignorance. In the cases of obeying the laws about not driving under the influence, because the life you save may be your own. Another instance of ignorance is in the light of what we're experiencing right now with this COVID-19. Some people will conform to wear face mask and some won't. Some persons will social distance or get vaccinated and others won't. Ephesians chapter 6 and 12 addresses this kind of behavior. And it reads as follows. For the struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms, in the heavenly realms. We are confronted with a powerful army whose primary goal is to defeat Christ's church. They try every tactic and strategy to turn us back to sin and away from Christ, or to turn us away from Christ and back to sin. But we must stand firm with the Holy Spirit by our side, with the Holy Spirit first and foremost, which is within us, and we must defeat Satan. The third stumbling block in our spiritual development is disobedience. Now, does the word disobedience strike a nerve with you? I have learned that disobedience falls in two categories. There is willful disobedience, and there is accidental disobedience, if you will. Knowing what's right and doing the wrong thing, or saying the wrong thing anyway, that's willful disobedience. Accidental disobedience occurs when you aren't trained or you aren't educated to the fact of the right thing to do, the right thing to say. You just haven't been educated and just don't know any better. An example can be found in Numbers chapter 22, verses 32 and 33. The fourth stumbling block to spiritual development is unforgiveness. Now, in Matthew chapter 18, verses 32 through 34, Jesus teaches the parable of the unmerciful servant. A servant's debt was forgiven by his master. But the same servant does not forgive the debt of a fellow servant who owes him. And when his master found out that he was wasn't about to forgive his fellow servant, he was thrown in jail. That angered the master, and he was thrown in jail, and that, I guess, ungrateful servant was tortured. That must have been excruciating. Jesus explains, and he concludes his parable in this way. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Matthew 18 and 35. The aforementioned tells of the four kinds of stumbling blocks that hinder us in our spiritual development and how to overcome these stumbling blocks. The stumbling blocks or obstacles to our spiritual development have been removed. They've been removed in God's word. We have been instructed in how to overcome the obstacles of pride, ignorance, disobedience, and unforgiveness on the roads, the highways, and the byways of our own lives. In verse 15 of chapter 57 of Isaiah identifies God as the one who lives forever, and he is holy, perfect in goodness and righteousness. He is divine. Isaiah tells where God lives. He says, God lives high, and because he is holy, he lives in a holy place. Isaiah says he, meaning God, is also with those who are lowly in spirit and those who have a contrite or a repentant heart. He will revive their spirit and he will revive their heart. He will not accuse them forever. The closing music rendition is entitled Embrace, based on Isaiah chapter 57, verses 14 through 15, and John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 32 by Kephas Music.
it shall be said, it shall be said, it shall be said. Build up, build up, build up, prepare the way. Remove every obstruction from my people's way. For thus says the High and Lofty One, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite. For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry, for from me proceeds the spirit. And I have made the breath of life. Up from the earth, will draw all men to myself, to myself, to myself, to myself.
Your number one internet radio station.
Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. www.eprn.us.